And welcome into the Tuesday edition, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, brought to you by First Horizon, Big Bank Muscle, Small Bank Hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you on this Tuesday morning. Hope everybody's off to a wonderful start this morning. Joe Rex Road, how we doing? What's going on? Happy Tuesday to you.
Yeah, doing terrible. Thanks for asking. Happy Tuesday to you.
Sorry I asked.
Yeah. I felt better for a little while yesterday when I had Toradol coursing through my hindquarters and down my leg. But unfortunately, the magic can only last so long.
So is that something that you could do every day, or is that just a temporary type of thing?
Yeah, as a one-time shot, and then I've got some steroids now to take every day, so hopefully that'll work.
Yes, hopefully so. Ian Safar, how we doing? What's going on?
Doing great, thanks. Fell asleep at halftime.
Did you?
Yeah. Nice. So I missed the second half, but yeah, doing good, thanks.
Good. Absolutely. We got a lot to get into on the program today. Sean Rourke from NHL.com will be with us at 7:30. We will get into the Cup Final, which could conclude tonight with him, and a couple of Preds topics to get into with Sean as well. Stephen Holder from ESPN will be with us at 8 o'clock. We will get into the Colts and the AFC South with him. So looking forward to that discussion coming up a little bit later in the program. Joe, let's start there. The Thunder win last night, 120-109, the final score. We talked about it yesterday about how it felt like the Pacers let an opportunity go by the wayside in game four, where they basically led the entire game until late in the fourth quarter. And then Oklahoma City comes back and they get the win. Last night, it kind of went the way that I thought, where Oklahoma City was in control for most of the game and they end up winning by double digits and now are right on the doorstep of winning an NBA championship. So, Joe, what did you make of game five, the performance by the Thunder, and where things now stand for Indiana on the brink of elimination heading back for game six?
Yeah, one of the things about it happens every year in the playoffs, you know, there's just things that, because again, I don't watch gobs of NBA regular season basketball. I try to watch everything I can in the playoffs. And one revelation for me certainly has been Jalen Williams. You know, SGA is the MVP, and SGA, last night we saw it, there were some key points where it's just like, Indiana has the momentum, like T.J. McConnell's going nuts. They're changing the game. Siakam's going nuts. And then it's just like, all right, SGA is going to go ahead and just back you down and get a bucket. But Jalen Williams also unstoppable. Like the two of them together, when they want to just get downhill, they're at least going to draw a foul. And Jalen Williams' ability to finish with both hands under duress, body control, he's a total revelation to me. I did not realize he was this good. And again, it's just part of why just that trio of stars for them and what they are now, possibly a champion real soon, what they're going to be, you know, especially like Holmgren, like there's still a lot of meat on the bone there for him to get better. So, but Jalen Williams, man, incredible player. And the thing is, if Tyrese Halliburton has a good game, I think Indiana steals that one last night. You know, that was the missing piece for them. Yep. And he, you know, it's like, I appreciate how he plays. He doesn't force it. He doesn't force anything offensively, but also he was just a little bit too tentative in the first half. And then you have some turnovers out of that. And he's got to look to score and put pressure on Oklahoma City that way early. He's not hitting his threes anymore. Like he's gone totally ice cold from deep. You take that away, then, you know, that you take away a lot of his game, but it's just too bad that he couldn't have given them at least like a pretty good game to a good game. I think they have a chance to steal that one.
Yeah. Halliburton ends up 0-for-6 on the night with 4 points. So first off, he didn't shoot a whole lot. I think he's pretty clearly battling through some things, and he's kind of talked about that a little bit. So I don't know, like, how much better is that going to get in game six here? Like, I look at it, Joe, this series, and if you're Indiana, you had it 2-1, and you were up in the second half of game four with a chance to extend that series to 3-1, and you let it get away from you, and it kind of feels like that was the tipping point in this whole thing. Like, I don't know, maybe Indiana can go back home and win in game six and force a game seven. I do not love their odds of beating them two times in a row, both back at home and then back in Oklahoma City for game seven. It feels like Indiana kind of let it get away from them in game four, and that Oklahoma City is about to ride off into the sunset here with a championship.
Yeah, I agree. But you know what? Win that game at home, give your home fans, put everything you have into that game, give them a thrill, and then just put the pressure on Oklahoma City. Cause I think everybody, I agree with you. I think most people agree with you. It's sort of like, okay, when does Oklahoma City get to celebrate a championship? So put the pressure on them of a game seven, and you never know. Sometimes those game sevens can be wacky, you know? That's all you just have to focus on. And I think Indiana does have a chance, absolutely, to at least force that. And maybe, I mean, because last night it was getting, you know, again, McConnell, his shift off the bench was pretty wild. And then, you know, Siakam is going nuts, and it's like, okay, I mean, they've really got, you can, you know, maybe see Oklahoma City tightening up, missing some shots they'd been making. They got answers, you know, they probably will again and win a game, but like Indiana can, you know, they can force this and at least make it interesting. And then we'll see how this young Oklahoma City team, you know, responds to game seven pressure. I'd love to be able to see that.
You mentioned Jalen Williams. He had 40 last night. So 14 of 25 from the field, 40 points. Shea Gilgeous-Alexander, 31 and 10, 31 points, 10 assists for Shea Gilgeous-Alexander last night, which is just absurd the way that he's able to be consistent and a playmaker for that team. And again, like he's so different to watch, Joe, because there are so many players and really teams in the NBA that have just totally abandoned the mid-range shot. I mean, they won't even consider it. And it's such a big part of Shea Gilgeous-Alexander's game. It's kind of like a throwback. Like I was watching with my brother the other night. He was like, it's kind of like Kobe. Like you just shoot it from anywhere. Like in the mid-range shot with him has been such a weapon for him.
Yeah, I mean, if you can get two, you know? I mean, if you can get a bucket. Yeah, some coaches are like Nate Oates would cut him. You're like, sorry, SGA, you can't play for me at Alabama. Good thing you went to Kentucky, you know? But that's the thing. If a team plays good defense, the whole idea of good defense in basketball is based nowadays is to force you to take a tough 2-point jumper, you know? So if you can make those shots, well, there you go. You have an answer even when people play great defense on you. But yeah, he's comfortable in that. He'll go ahead and just find his spot and, you know, turn around, fade away. It doesn't matter. Then obviously when he gets going downhill. But again, like Jalen Williams, you know, this guy, he's played his whole career in college at Santa Clara, yep. You know, kind of an anonymous guy. Here's another example, not to get people all fired up and start yelling at me about my take. But like Jalen Williams is a great example of like, let's take Jalen Williams, who's just a guy in this league. Not last night, but he is. He's a guy in this league. He's a good player in this league. But let's take him and his skill set, his size, length, everything, and transport him 30, 40 years. You know?
Jordan would have no chance.
Well, no, I'm not saying that. Not at all. But I think he might stand out a little bit more. He might stand out. A lot of guys in this league who are guys who would not just be guys back then. But
Magic,
you know,
step aside. It's Jalen Williams'
well,
time.
Now, you know, yeah. See, now don't get me mad. I'm already in pain.
Isaiah Thomas, move on, son. This is the Jalen Williams show.
It's funny because, yeah, well, Isaiah, you know, would Isaiah destroy people today? I mean, I love the guy, but he might have a little more trouble today. Speaking of trouble, I got to say, there's been a lot of chatter about this, and it's like halftime, like the Stephen A. Smith, Kendrick Perkins. Yeah. And it's all, and again, it's like Stephen A, it's like, he just has to scream. And like, you know, like the whole show last night, was just like, no, 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 no excuses. And it's just, they just want to rip Halliburton, you know? And Bob Myers is like, well, you know, well, maybe let's consider some of this. No, no, no. Stephen A's got to, it's not very good. You know, it's just not very good. I mean, Kendrick Perkins is okay. You know, his analysis, like, he does break some stuff down, you know, at times, so that's fine. And he's kind of funny sometimes. I just don't, like, Stephen A just doesn't really add much to it at all.
They need the inside the NBA crew to get over there in a hurry.
Yeah, and that'll obviously, they'll bump them out. I understand that, like, Stephen A attracts big audience, and First Take has, like, great numbers and all that stuff, and that's great. But, like, I don't want Stephen A. Smith on NFL coverage. I don't know what he's bringing. He just doesn't ever have analysis, you know? Like, I just don't. There's so little analysis, and there's just mostly, like, just
solitaire
kind of ripping people. Well, yeah, there's that too. Yeah, playing a little solitaire.
Hey, I played solitaire last week at the gym when I was riding the exercise bike. I had a great time. Solitaire is an underrated game. I don't blame Stephen A. for sitting there in the middle of the game in the NBA Finals playing a little solitaire. Good for him.
I mean, I guess I would tend to believe him that it was during a commercial break. But I like the picture of him, like, there's no, you can't see the court, right? So you can't tell. But I would tend to believe that he was actually watching a game. I freaking hope so.
I would too. 615-737-1025, our phone number.
I'm sorry, did I stutter?
615-737-1025, our phone number. We got a lot to get into on the program here today. We will get into Cam Ward making headlines for interesting reasons a little bit later this hour, which has caused some reaction on Titans Twitter a little bit later in the hour. Coming up next, though, a sporting event going on right now that Rex Road is throwing out there. Is anybody watching? Does anyone care? We'll get into that coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game.
1-2. Yeah. Swing and a miss! Greatness from Gage! A no-hitter! America's hearts. But they ran into Gage Wood today. A program record 19 strikeouts. The second most ever at the Men's College World Series.
That was Gage Wood from Arkansas yesterday, throwing a no-hitter, which was the first no-hitter in the College World Series in 65 years as Arkansas wins against Murray State. Murray State eliminated from the College World Series. Arkansas stays alive. And Joe, as Mitch Sermon at The Athletic points out, probably the greatest pitching performance in the history of the College World Series. The stats would bear that out. And if you look at it, I mean, it's the first no-hitter in the College World Series in 65 years, and he struck out 19 guys. So quite a performance yesterday from Gage Wood of Arkansas. Joe, as we know, no Tennessee, no Vanderbilt in the College World Series. So what you're wondering is, how many people around here are watching the College World Series, and how many people care about it with no Tennessee and no Vanderbilt? Joe, are you watching the College World Series with no Tennessee and Vanderbilt participating?
I am, but not as, you know, inning by inning, can't miss an inning as I have in previous years. So that's for me. You know, I've really enjoyed Coastal Carolina. It's pretty amazing what they're doing. I mean, we're talking about 25 wins in a row. I believe they play today. So 25 wins in a row.
And they are the Chanticleers, not the Chanticleers, and do not make that mistake around their coach.
Is that right? I missed it.
Oh, he opened his press conference the other day. He's like, everybody say it with me. Chanticleers, not Chanticleers, Chanticleers. It was like, you know, kind of Mariota type thing.
Well, I appreciate that, man. Come out and tell us about it. Well, Marcus, you know, when someone says, oh, hey, I'm here with Marcus Mariota, correct him. Cam Ward, if you want to be Cameron, first day of training camp, get to that microphone and say, I'm Cameron, I'm not Cam.
Yeah.
So I appreciate that. I, honestly, I didn't know that. It's the Chanticleers.
That's what he says.
Kind of weird. Isn't that weird?
I love it.
Coastal Carolina Chanticleers. It's like when I say Nevada, and people from Nevada are like, dude, it's Nevada. It's not Nevada. Now, Colorado, that's an interesting one.
It's Colorado.
Joel Klatt, former Colorado quarterback, will tell you it's Colorado.
The Colorado people that I know tell me it's Colorado. So Joel Klatt can pound sand.
I wonder if is it like Colorado against Colorado State? Is it something like that? Some kind of a rivalry with the pronunciation?
Could be.
But anyway, Coastal Carolina, they're a pretty cool element of this. Obviously, Arkansas loses that first game to LSU, but then you get this unbelievable performance, 119 pitches, and he almost had a perfect game. He hit a batter in the eighth inning. I mean, it's insane. Like you said, Mitch Sherman wrote this story, like, is it the greatest pitching performance in College World Series history? I mean, by any measure, yes. So Chris Burke says there were five balls in fair territory that he didn't have a part in making. I don't understand what that means, making the out. But five balls in fair territory, is that all they put into play? Is that right?
Sounds like it.
I mean,
if you strike out 19 guys, it doesn't leave very much left for them to put the ball in play.
That's true. That's true. So then you strike out 19 guys, there's eight more outs left. So five and then maybe there were like three
fouled off. Yeah.
Fouled off or, you know, caught in foul territory. That's pretty insane. You know, hitting high 90s in the ninth inning. So I think that's an accelerator for people to watch this. Again, Arkansas, I think, still has the goods to win the whole thing. But, yeah, it just feels different to me and obviously less exciting because neither of the teams we have in this state are there.
I got to be honest with you, I've not watched 1 second of the College World Series, and I don't know that I plan to. Maybe the final series. A couple things on that. Number one, like, it's hard for me to care much without Tennessee or Vanderbilt in it, just being honest. I mean, that's where I'm at with college baseball. Like, if Tennessee and Vanderbilt are playing, I will watch. If Tennessee and Vanderbilt are not playing, it's hard for me to care all that much. And the other part is, like, you know, as of right now, it has been going up against the Stanley Cup Final and the NBA Finals. And frankly, I will be watching the NBA Finals or the Stanley Cup Final before I'm watching the College World Series without Tennessee or Vanderbilt in it. Now, when they get to the final series, maybe I'll watch at that point. Like, Ty on the text line says, you know, Coastal Carolina, super cool story. It's a check the ESPN app at the end of the day sporting event for me. Except for the Coastal Carolina games, I'll casually watch them. It is fun to watch and see what they've done. But I will be totally honest. I have not watched 1 second of the College World Series yet without Tennessee and Vanderbilt in it.
Yeah, and I'm certainly making the same choice when it's either when they're or the night games when they're up against you know, either of these NBA or NHL, you know, games. It's the callback channel. It's the during commercial flip back to the College World Series for me. So, but as it gets going, it would be cool if it's Coastal Carolina. You know, I think maybe one of now. So UCLA doing awfully well too.
Yep.
You know, I'm trying to. In fact, that's the thing. I'm like not even keeping totally on top of this. So the Cards are still around, right? The Cards are alive. Unfortunately, Murray State is gone.
Yes.
So that's one of the cool Cinderella stories is gone, but. But, yeah, you know, then you get into – I'm with you. You get to the final series, and by then you may be totally done with these other series. What are the last possible – the Game 7s are possibly what days this week?
Well, you've got the hockey game, which I believe would be – I think it's Friday. I think they would play Friday. It would be Friday Game 7 if Edmonton wins – tonight. So that means basketball is probably Saturday, if I had to guess. Maybe Sunday.
Yeah.
It's Sunday. So a game seven Sunday. Would be Sunday for the Thunder. So there you go. Those are the last possible dates.
So if I remember correctly, then that could actually be a pretty cool doubleheader because it could be final series game two during the day Sunday, NBA finals at night. So there you go. So hopefully we'll get all that because then we go into the great void.
Yes, we do go into the great void.
You're a golf fan.
Hey, got the British Open coming up, which is no longer called the British Open. David in Arkansas on the text line says, as a Razorback fan, it was great to see the sports world react to a Razorback player. That was one of the top greatest moments for me as a Razorback fan, and I was nervous for him. Throwing 97 in the ninth inning is insane. I agree. I mean, if you're still pumping it 97, 98 in the ninth inning after throwing that many pitches, that's pretty darn impressive. I would imagine as you get that deep into a game, Joe, with a no-hitter still intact, adrenaline playing a little bit of a part there, but he was still humming it late in the game.
Yeah, it's wild. And obviously, you know, their ace, Zach Root, did not give them the performance they wanted. He was out quickly against LSU, but that also preserves him for, you know, for his next opportunity. So, you know, really they could be in pretty good shape here if they can get his normal performance the next time he's out there. So maybe the Hawk, you know, because that would still be, it's wild, you know, Dave Van Horn having not won it. I mean, that's obviously one of the big storylines here. And another cool thing is that Cam Kozil, who was at Vanderbilt, who has now gone to Arkansas, his dad has worked the grounds. He's from Omaha, and his dad is a grounds crew worker at the College World Series. It's a pretty cool story. There's always cool stories.
Yeah, full disclosure, my TV has either been on the NBA Finals, the Stanley Cup Final, Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star for the Super Simple Songs, or Reba on Netflix, as my toddler's still watching the Reba McEntire show. So there you go.
Still a big Reba fan.
Yeah. Every morning, like her mom gives her the choice: do you want to watch Dad do his show, or do you want to watch Reba? And I'll just be honest with you, Joe. Most of the time, we lose that.
Yeah, that's understandable. As you know, aesthetically pleasing as our show is.
That's right. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Some news involving Cam Ward yesterday that is pretty interesting and has some people upset about it. We'll get into that. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
What would you say your confidence level is before this break heading into training camp?
10.
You ever had a 4, a 5, or a 6, and when did you get to 10?
Nah, I'll probably never get that low, even if I, you know, throw a 4-book game this year. At the end of the day, I'm a gunslinger. I live by that. I always die by it. So Coach Callahan knows what type of guy he has in the quarterback room and me. So, you know, I'm just thankful that I got guys around me to help me out, along with B.A., Bradley, and Brandon, and Will. And Tim in there, they helped me out a lot, you know, just getting me right with the protections. Then also the receiving corps, they're going to be able to, you know, compliment my game a lot.
That's Cam Ward on his confidence, which, Joe, he does have, which I think is a good thing, but some think maybe he's not allowed to have some of that confidence. He may be getting more moving forward here before he ever takes a snap on the field, Joe. Variety put this out there yesterday. Tubi has acquired a 6-episode sports documentary series in which they are titling Zero Star, The Cam Ward Story, which is taking a look at how he went from an unknown high school player to the eventual leader of the Miami Hurricanes, and now, as Variety puts it, the number one pick in the 2025 NFL Draft. A 6-part docuseries featuring Cam Ward. So, Joe, this came out yesterday, and there was some reaction around the league and around Titans Twitter to this news. So I'll just start with you. You know, there was not the same thing, but, you know, a similar discussion piece last year when Will Levis, you know, had all the mayonnaise stuff and the mayo commercials and the mayo cologne that he was coming out with and all those things. Of, well, he's not really done much at the NFL level yet. Should he really be taking time to focus on all these things? So, Joe, I ask you, Cam Ward, a 6-part docuseries that will be featuring his journey from a zero-star recruit to being the number one pick in the 2025 NFL Draft. Is this a big deal? Is this a good idea from Cam Ward? Is this a bad idea from Cam Ward? What do you make of it?
Before I answer that question, I think we do need to get Jared and Gentry Estes debating, maybe. Maybe we need to get that, because Gentry's take on the confidence quote is like, that was perfect. It is his defining characteristics, the most encouraging thing about him as a quarterback for the Titans. That's Gentry's take on the, you know, replying that he's at a 10. And of course, Jared, I still don't understand his take, actually, but obviously he has a huge issue with that. So speaking of huge issues with Cam Ward, let's see, A to Z Sports. Let me read a headline to you. If my computer will not freeze, which it is freezing. Oh boy. I mean, like, I'm right on the verge of being able to read this headline. I just have to go up one click. And my computer free. Do you still have me?
Oh, I've still got you.
Okay. Well, that's good. So at least it's not like the entire thing.
I've got the headline if you want me to read.
Yeah, read the headline since I can't.
This is from our friend Andrew, who says, Cam Ward, six-part documentary raises first red flag for the Titans' number one overall pick. And then he says, and get off my line. Get off my lawn in the subhead there on A to Z Sports.
Yeah, there's no minimizing this terrible take, Andrew. And frankly, I hope Jeff Simmons throws you into the water in camp. So let's go back to Levis. I said it last year. It's like, well, you better earn it. You better do something first, which I'm sure was like Jared State. You gotta earn it. Hey, guess what? Thank God he did it. If I'm Will Levis's agent, mom, if I'm him, his girlfriend, good thing you did those Mayo commercials, bro, because you're not getting anybody else knocking on your door right now. I mean, get out of here. It, like, there's you do not have to earn doing a commercial or anything that's going to make you money. If you've earned it by what you've done already, which is, you know, get yourself to the point where you're in the NFL, yeah, go ahead and do that. I mean, again, unless it's actually like infringing, hey, coach, I can't make practice. There is zero discussion about these things other than just stupid discussion by people who would be complete idiots if they turned these things down. Complete idiots. So please spare me this pearl clutching over this crap. Now, I will say one thing about this. Does it really need to be six parts? That's the one area where I would agree with young Andrew is look, one of my favorite 30 for 30s, probably my favorite, is the one about the Colorado Avalanche, Detroit Red Wings.
Oh, yeah.
Rivalry. And then we got our friend of the show, Darren McCarty, on there with his one tooth left in his head.
Yes,
and
we did.
You know, yelling at Claude Lemieux. It's fantastic. I could watch six. There we go.
Oh, that's going to be awesome to use.
I could watch six. I could watch 15 parts of that doc, okay? There are things in sports that are extensive enough that multi parts are fine. Like, you know, I mean, Jordan probably a little bit indulgent in himself for his 6-part series, but you know, he had to finish his 8 bottles of whiskey while he was doing his interview. So, I mean, he had to have as many parts as possible. I don't see why we need 6 parts before a guy even starts his NFL career. That would be the one thing where it's like, do you think people want, like, it's a great story. Incarnate Word, all that stuff, his parents, the journey to Washington State, then to Miami, deciding not to go, bet on himself, be the number one pick. It sounds like a great doc. I would watch that for an hour, okay?
Yeah.
6 parts? Like, are we getting into, like, what breakfast cereals he liked when he was 8 years old? Like, that would be my only thing that I'm a little bit puzzled by, and I think it's a miscalculation on the part of the people doing this thing. Like, he's the number one pick. He was a star in college football last year. That's great. I don't think people are going to be locked in for 6 apps here. But as far as him doing it, hell yes, you do it. And I swear, if I look at the text line or YouTube chat, and any Titans fans are complaining about this, like this is some infringement on him trying to be a great quarterback. It's just mindless. It's just brainless taking. It's a brainless take. Okay.
Couple things on this. Number one, I was consistent on this with Will Levis last year, so I'm going to be consistent on it now. Like, I had no problem with Will Levis and all the cologne stuff and the Mayo stuff last year for exactly what you said. I mean, number one, it did not take away from his football. Like, Will Levis didn't suck last year because he was doing Mayo commercials, okay? Or making Mayo cologne. That was not why he was not good at playing the quarterback position last year. So, I have no problem with Cam Ward doing this. I'm with you. Like, I don't really understand the 6-part doc of it. Like, to me, you could probably do 2 parts and cover just about everything you need to cover.
Maybe they're only like 15 minutes.
Maybe
each.
So. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, it's like a mini
like
part.
TikToks. Yeah, here's a 2-minute little outlet. Yeah. Maybe it's, I don't know. But
attention spans.
The
6 point.
Part of it is a little mystifying to me, but I have no problem with the general idea of it. And the other part is this. I mean, look, I can only go based off what we know about Cam Ward so far. And again, that's very limited because he's not been around very, very much to this point, and he's not taking an NFL snap yet. But the only thing I know about Cam Ward so far, based on the reporting around it and what his teammates have said, is that he's in the building at 5 a.m. leading meetings with all the rookies on offense about every possible detail of what they're doing at practice that day, that Brian Callahan has basically had to tell him, hey, man, maybe slow it down a little bit because this is going to be a long journey for you, and the work that you're about to have throughout the season, I need you to be able to sustain that. So basically, like, Joe, it sounds like he's almost working too hard. So I don't know that I've got a huge problem with him doing a docuseries when the guy's in the building all the time at 5 a.m. leading all the meetings with all the rookies, you know? Like, it would be one thing if he's not putting in work and he's not staying after practice and watching film and doing all these different things. I mean, everything that we know about him so far is the guy's around all the time doing everything you could ask him to do and more. So when that's the case, I don't really care what you do off the field. Do whatever you want as long as you're not, you know, getting yourself into trouble.
Just wait until that first interception. Oh, well, maybe if you weren't sitting down for an interview and a documentary, you would have been studying film, Cam.
I'm sure it'll happen.
Yeah, to your point, he's even apparently gone above and beyond. And some of that stuff, I'm also like, okay, that's great. Yeah, that's great. But it is, like, you'd rather hear stuff like that than not, right? I mean, like, when people just kind of, like, show up at the regular time and then go home when they're supposed to go home.
Yeah.
People don't talk about it, you know? But, yeah, look, this is, you know, these guys, so for the next, you know, what are we talking, the next 6 weeks or whatever it is, you know, they need to stay in shape. Some of them are going to take some vacation, go see their families, go somewhere, whatever. And, you know, you work out and you try to take care of your body, and you can stay in the playbook and all that stuff. And that still is going to leave you, like, with all that, if you're going to work out, you got to rest, recover, all that stuff, that still leaves you most of every day to do whatever you want. And some will sit around and watch TV or whatever, watch TikTok or, you know, whatever you want. And some, you know, might sit down for a little bit and, you know, be part of a documentary. And like, it's just, people have free time. Whenever we know what people do with their free time, then people get mad that they did something with their free time as opposed to just doing nothing with their free time, and we don't hear about it.
Well, and also, like, what I don't know the answer to is, like, how much of his time is this actually taken up? Like, are they just interviewing him for, like, a few hours and covering everything they need to cover? Because I would imagine a lot of the documentary will feature him and, like, his thoughts, but it will probably also feature, like, people around him and his coaches and his former teammates, and, like, there's going to be a lot of people probably involved with it. So, like, how much time in actuality from Cam Ward specifically is this documentary actually taking up? I would have to say probably not all that much when you really break it down.
Yeah, I'm sure he has sat down or will sit down for an interview. And then everything else is, yeah. I mean, if he's cutting the tape on this, then okay, then maybe that's a little much. You know?
Is he editing?
If he's dubbing in the sound, yeah, the you know, sound clips, then yeah, that might be a little extensive. Jared says on the YouTube chat, okay, first part high school, then Incarnate Word, then Washington State, fourth part Miami, fifth part draft, sixth part expectations. Boy, again,
it's a lot.
Give me an hour. Yeah. Give me an hour, man. We can do this in an hour. And it's,
I don't need that. I need an entire episode on Incarnate Word. That's just me. Really, even Washington State.
Like, what if Cam Ward or Cameron Ward, let us know, Cam or Cameron, which it is. But what if he turns out to be an all-time great quarterback? Like, and then there's actually all this stuff about his NFL career that would be good for a documentary. We already have a 6-part doc on the guy. You know, like, save a little bit of, you know, save a little room for in case he actually lives up to the expectations.
And but next,
again, that's my only quibble.
Tubi is coming out with a 52-part documentary on Cam Ward.
Yeah, I mean, every single NFL game we've condensed down to an hour. Oh, okay, great. Yeah, I mean, it's a little much again. So that I think that it's a little bit of a miscalculation on the production side of it. But him doing it, absolutely do it. You have a chance. It is so fleeting. It is so hard to make it in this league or in pro sports at all. If you have any opportunity commercially. Anything that can be, you know, like if I'm Cam Ward, of course, his confidence is at 10, as we know, which apparently is a problem. Yeah. Or it's an amazing thing. I don't know, depending on who you ask. But he's not, of course, not thinking about not making it. In his mind, he's going to be a 15-year star in this league. But you know what? He might be a 2-year flame out. So good thing you got that doc done. You can show it to your kids and grandkids someday.
615-737-1025.
There's no reason to not do these things.
615-737-1025. Our phone number, your reaction to the 6-part docuseries that apparently Cam Ward will be participating in. Do you have a problem with it? Do you not have a problem with it? I will say we have not had one person to this point on the text line that's had a problem with it. So we'll continue that discussion.
We kind of do.
Do we? Okay, I must have missed that. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game, live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios. Home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership with a buzz is always about great service. Robbie and Rex Road, brought to you by First Horizon, big bank muscle, small bank hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. Cam Ward, a 6-part docuseries that will apparently be on Tubi at some point. Taking your reaction to that. In Rex Road, there is a piece from Will Levis that he talked about early in the offseason that you think fits in well to this suggestion. What do you want to set up here, the audio clip that we're about to play?
I will. I do want to quickly get to this real quick, and then I'll set it up. But the one, I guess this is a sarcasm from Jared from Spring Hill, says, what can go wrong? Too much confidence, thinking he knows more than the coaching. In the Titans case, he might. And then a stupid documentary, which I bet he's going to be in too. That sounds sarcastic to me. Does he say he thinks he knows more than the coaching? I miss that one.
I don't think so.
And then Jared also says it's just going to be funny when the Titans are 1-9 and he still has 10,000% confidence. This documentary is out there haunting him. I wonder if it'll end the 6th episode with to be continued. Again, the documentary is about his obviously it's about his path to the NFL. Like, nothing's changing that. So
yeah, the path is the path.
The path is the path to the number one pick overall. And then I guess there's another doc to be made later about whether he was a total flame out, superstar all time, or I don't know. Do you make a doc if you're just like an okay quarterback? Like, is Trevor Lawrence going to get a doc about his his career? I don't know. But
here's Pervin Irvin. Like,
but the idea, like that idea that the doc's going to be haunting him. Why? It's about his life. Like, all the things he did to go from complete nobody and incarnate word to the NFL are still going to be true. Like, anybody who follows the NFL kind of understands that you can be a great player. You can win the Heisman Trophy in college football, which is the best player in college football, and have no NFL career. It's happened many, many times. So, you know, I just – the idea that – and then, of course, he still has 10,000% confidence. I got to – like, I don't want to overplay, like, you know, ripping that take, but it makes no sense to me. You don't want the guy to have confidence? Huh? He has to win a Super Bowl before he can have confidence. It makes zero sense to me. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'd really rather him be really tentative out there because that'll go well at quarterback.
My confidence is about a 4 out of 10 right now. You know, I mean, it's just
I'm scared again, I don't throw the ball.
Yeah, like again, I don't necessarily agree with Gentry either that it's like this amazing thing that was his answer. It's just like, yeah, that's what you would expect the answer to be. You know,
yeah,
like I just it's not even like to me notable. It's you know kind of a. Whatever, you know, fine question, you know, and he said what he said, and I think I would expect just about everybody to say the exact same thing to it. But, yeah, the Levis thing, there was an interesting comment from Levis and conversation from Levis last week, you know, about his path, and I thought this kind of weaves into – I could see people weaving this into the discussion even if it doesn't belong, but here's what Will Levis said last week.
One thing I've kind of learned the hard way is there's no way to play your best ball if you have – other things that, you know, you let kind of affect your mind and your mental. And I had to learn that and work through that throughout the season. Was able to have people around me to support me and get me back into that right mindset. And it's really hard when you're in the mix of things and in the fire, like during a season. But I really, for the first time after the season, was able to kind of sit back, collect myself, realize that the mind space that I was in for those 20 weeks was not me. And I felt like I used that time to get back to base and I'm not quite ready to talk on all of that quite yet, but yeah, it just wasn't in the right spot, and it's hard to pull yourself out of that when you're in the thick of it like that, and I'm glad that I was able to afterwards.
So there you go. That was Will Levis. That is interesting.
There's a lot to unpack.
Yeah, a lot to unpack there, and that, you know, obviously, you know, he said at the end there he's not ready to really divulge exactly what that was, but not being in the right headspace, kind of the theme from that part of it.
Yeah, so now I could see someone saying, see,
He was thinking about that next Mayo commercial and saying, Mayo tailgate be amazing.
Is that Lou Holtz?
The University of Notre Dame would never take that Will Levis.
It's pretty good. Way to go.
Thank you. Thank you. So I guess I took that as one of either one of two things or maybe both. One would be like the pressure of just like, right, like understanding that like you and it's hard. When you're in hit the spot he was in going to last year, it's like, here's your chance. You know, you're a second round pick, so you're not getting endless chances. And if you this works out, you're going to make generational money and, you know, be entrenched in this league. And if it doesn't work out, then you're quickly going to be among the recyclable backups in the league. So I think that's part of it. I know there was also like a breakup too, so maybe that was part of it. I don't know. The whole, that wasn't me. I mean, it sounds a little bit like excuse making, but also I have no doubt that like the gravity of the whole thing probably didn't help him perform his best.
I would agree. 615-737-1025, our phone number. 615-737-1025. We'll have Sean Rourke from NHL.com with us later at 7:30. We'll get into the Cup Final, which could end tonight with him, and a couple of Preds topics to get into with Sean as well. Stephen Holder from ESPN will be with us at 8 o'clock. We'll get into the AFC South and the Indianapolis Colts with him. All that coming up a little bit later in the program. Got a Preds topic I want to throw out there coming up next, including some interesting buzz around the Preds right now that I want to get to. Robbie and Rexrow, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.